Hello, football fans in Hamilton from coast to coast and around the world. This is the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube. My name is Rick Samprin. Holy Mackinac! A heart-stopping, hair-raising, goosebump-creating ball game at BMO Field, and it's the Hamilton Tiger Cats, ladies and gentlemen, coming out on top on a last-second field goal, 47 yards out. Mark Leggio drills it through the uprights. What seemed to be a ball game that many fans were thinking, it's going to be one of those games where the Ticats coulda, woulda, shoulda. In fact, it happened. They did. They did pick up the win, and it's a massive one, 33-31, on the road against their arch rival, sweep the season series, Toronto Shimano. Wow, what a second half that was, especially for Hamilton, outscoring Toronto 19-13. There were several hot topics tonight, from officiating to the goal line stand, maybe of all goal line stands, and it wasn't a pretty one for the Tiger Cats, to somehow, some way, finding a way at the end of this game to get what is a massive, massive 2 points in the win call. My gosh, this team is now 5-9, 4 points back of the Argonauts with 4 games to go. Ladies and gentlemen, the season and the race for the playoffs is officially on, like Donkey Kong. How many of you were optimistic when Toronto goes up 31-28 with 56 seconds to go? I had my doubts. I'm sure you did too, especially with some of the play calling we were seeing, little, you know, nickel and diming down the field, but they got into field goal range with a couple of big first downs. And Leggio steps up and drills it. And for that reason, Mark Leggio is my player of the game. There were some really good performances tonight for the Tiger Cats. We're going to get into them all, backed with statistics, including what may have been, you know, from an efficiency standpoint and an impact standpoint, one of Bo Levi Mitchell's best games as a Tiger Cat. 31 of 40 at 9 incompletions, throwing 40 footballs tonight, 362 yards, 1 touchdown, and some big runs, 3 carries for 19 yards. But in saying that, I'm going to go with Leggio for my pick for player of the game. And before I start reading your comments and your emails and social media messages on X, at Rick Samprin is the handle. There's a link in the chat. You can click on that link. It'll get you into the waiting room here on the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube, and then I'll bring you on the air. But just a couple of things I wanted to point out. And I'm not one, and you know me by now. If you've tuned into the Fifth Quarter year in and year out, you know me by now that I do not normally criticize the officiating. Because at the end of the day, I think, you know, it kind of evens out. And maybe tonight it did even out. I'd have to look back at a bunch of the calls that I'm about to reference. But there were a lot of calls tonight where I thought, how is that a penalty? Several calls for both teams. It wasn't just all against the Ticats or all against Toronto. There were some on both sides of the field. And I thought, what is going on? And I sent out one post that the CFL officiating department just burned this tape. There's no takeaways here. There's no good news to spread if you're an official involved in tonight's game. It was, not good. Not good at all. All right, here's how you can contribute to the show. There is the chat, which is straight fire right now here on the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube. You can email as well. The email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. There's a link at the top of the chat, and I've started this time, so I think you might, you know, see it all show long. You can click that link, and you fill out a couple of things, your name, and I think you got to put your email or whatever the case is. And or you can just head into the chat and contact me that way. But a big 33-31 win for the Tiger Cats tonight. now 5-9 on the season, and still, listen, still some work to do, but the opportunity is there. The brass ring is within reach. Can this team fully grasp it? They're in BC next week. They host Winnipeg the following week. They get a bye, host Calgary, and then finish off the season in Ottawa. Not, again, not going to be easy, but the way this team is playing now on a three-game winning streak, who knows? Stranger things have happened. Stranger things have happened. So, well, hey, let's get to them right now. Big Ticats fan once again joining us here on the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube. Big Ticats fan, BTF, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Were you at the ball game tonight?
No, I wasn't at the ball game, but a friend of mine was. I wish I was there, but that was a good disciplined team. It was back and forth on the calls, I'm not going to lie, but it's more usually when those calls, as amount if there were, is on the Argos, usually is on Hamilton. And it was like, oh, they played good. Yeah, the bad calls on us. Yeah, they were proper calls. The refs actually played called a good game, and I don't like refs, but yeah, it was a fair game, but they played like a team, like they should be.
They did, and you know, there's not, you know, aside from the goal line failure, they had five times to get it into the end zone, and they're, I don't know, however they failed to do that boggles the mind. They seem to be calling the same play over and over, aside from the one pitch, which was just an absolutely horrible call. Aside from that kind of fiasco, they played a really good road game.
Yes, they absolutely did, and we're low on road game wins in the last little bit.
Yeah.
It was nice to pick it up and go 3-0 against the Argos that have been kicking our butts the last two Labor Day Labor Day games, and last season as well, especially when they had Brandon Banks, and that was a knife to the heart seeing Brandon Banks in blue and white.
Yeah.
But it was good for them to come back and take the season sweep. Let's hope Saskatchewan loses tonight in a big upset and still give us hopes for a crossover. Like, come on, we've never seen a crossover in the West from the East. Let's do it. Let's be the first team.
I'm in favor of that. Who's your player of the game tonight?
Last week I talked to you and Jeff from Edmonton. Holler, Jeff. He'll be on the line, I hope, in the next call or two. Me and him were about the team. And I said that last time. It was a team effort. They played good. They played discipline. And tonight they proved to play more discipline, more like a team. Let's keep it going. Like, we are trying to make something impossible. But at the end of the day, let's just keep the faith going. Just keep it going.
All right. I'm going to mark you down for the whole team.
Right on. You have a good night, brother. And keep the channel alive, folks. Let's go.
You got it. Thank you very much. Big Ticats fan joining us here on the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube, and you can connect as well. There is a link in the chat. Click on that link. Join me here on the show. Let's get to the chat. It is on fuego tonight, as it usually is on the Fifth Quarter Show. Dave, I think he sent this actually, yeah, before the show transpired. He sent this at 9:50. Why would they water the field? Stupid on many levels. Yeah, the field, and let's put this in perspective. I think we can all agree the field was kind of atrocious. Not kind of, it was atrocious, especially in the middle of the field where the hash marks are. But both teams played on the same field, so footing was an issue for both teams. And both teams, you know, kind of suffered in a certain respect. The run game wasn't as effective. Certainly the intermediate passing game wasn't as effective. We saw a lot of short passes, especially from the Ticats, and we saw one or two deep passes, more or less, from the Argonauts. A lot of the intermediate stuff was really null and void, and I think the footing had something to do with that. Aaron says, hi, Rick. Cheering for a walk-off victory tonight. That's exactly what happened. Mark Leggio becomes the hero after a total team effort to get the big W tonight. The Bomb says, got to be good to be lucky, right? Absolutely. You need some luck on your side. The Ticats did not have much of that in the early going, that's for sure. Civil Defense Canada says, decided to skip going to the Ancaster Fair tonight. Crazy game tonight. Well, the good news is the Ancaster Fair is on all weekend, so you can go tomorrow or even on Sunday. Big ups to the Ancaster Fair. A lot of fun That is for sure. Joe CTS says, love your show. Thank you, Joe. Thank you so much. And David says, yay, baby. I think we're all reiterating that sentiment tonight. You can email your thoughts on tonight's game. The email is fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Let's go to the email. And this one is from Val, who says, wow, just wow. What a great effort by the whole team. Only downer was the goal line fiasco. We may be on life support, but still alive. Player of the game, Legio, 100%. And props to Bo, Val from Halifax. That's two votes for Legio, one for the entire team. And this email is from Randy in Oakville. And Randy writes, good evening, Rick. This was a back and forth edge of my seat game. There were many missed opportunities, but Hamilton kept persevering. The five-play defensive stand by Toronto was really frustrating. The Cats needed a varied play call on that drive. Good performances by James Butler, Brendan O'Leary-Orange, and Giovanni Robinson, Keandre Smith, Shamar Bridges, Bo Levi Mitchell was improved. Butler was a powerhouse digging up yards. My player of the game, says Randy, is Mark Legio. That's vote number three for legs. October is near, and I want the great fall pumpkin to shine on the Tiger Cats. A positive note, Hamilton wins the Ballard Trophy. Well, that was all said and done on Labor Day, but yeah, they clinched the series sweep as well. Just a back-and-forth exchange of the lead. An inferior dirt field did not help either team. Horrendous field conditions. And Randy concludes his email by saying, yes, Mark Legio, the hero. A Hamilton sweep of the series. Argo stink. Our playoff chances are possible. A glass of Pinot Grigio to celebrate. Good night, Rick. Randy in Oakville. Randy, enjoy the vino. On X, the handle is at Rick Samprin. You can click on the link in the fifth quarter show at the top of the chat and put in some information and join me that way. To that end, Colton this here. On the fifth quarter show on YouTube. Colton, good evening. How are you?
Oh, better now. I was really nervous during that game, to be honest. Yeah. That was a nail biter. But Rick, I honestly can't believe I'd ever see anything suck more than the Argos, but that field sucked tonight. That was brutal. Oh my God.
It was
terrible. That game would have been so much more exciting more than it was if that field was in better condition. But
yeah,
I'm glad we got the win finally. We're beating the Argos again. Last year was a long year, losing to those guys all the time. But I'm glad that with all the teams getting walk-off wins, we were finally able to get one. And I just hope we keep this momentum going too, because it would be nice. I mean, I don't know if it's wishful thinking, but it would be nice to end up like the Alouettes, you know, going in and then winning a whole string of games in a row all the way to the big one. But and I just want to say, talk about how well Bo Levi has been playing the past three games too. Like it's like he just turned it on. Like it just flipped the switch and he's just every game now he's ready to go. And he's taking a lot of shots downfield too, which I like. And finally our receivers are coming down with the ball too. It's not just Smith going up for jump balls and bringing them down. It's everybody now. So that's a good sign too.
I'll agree with your comments about Mitchell. Ever since, you know, he was, exited from the lineup in favor of Taylor Powell. Powell goes down with an injury and Mitchell gets reinserted. Bo has been really good. Like one of the best QBs in the league in that time frame.
Oh, for sure. And he's rounding up to 4,000 yards, I think, this year. If he didn't pass it already, is he close? He passed it already, didn't he?
I think he passed it tonight. Yep.
Oh, wow. And they were talking about how he's never really thrown this much. And it's hard to believe. Like, I don't know. It's because I remember, you know, all the quarterback, like Ricky Ray was in the league for a while. And that, you know, that's difficult to pass him. But and even finally, Tim White's getting involved. I'd like to see them throw it to him a little bit more because it looks like he's getting his fire back, too. And he's battling for balls, which is a good sign.
Yeah, he was really quiet in the first half for sure. Only made two catches for 24 yards, but it seems like every time he does make a catch, it's a first down or a big play.
Yeah, for sure. And because he's, my opinion, the best receiver in the CFL when he wants to be. That's what was so frustrating at the start of the year. You know, he held out for a little bit more money, and then it's like, okay, he got the money. So, and then he wasn't performing, but now he's performing, and he's performing at the right time, which is par for the course with the Ticats. But My fiance is pretty happy seeing Leggio kicking that walk off because she's a huge fan. So nice. I'm happy so for him too.
Is he your player of the game?
For sure. Yeah, he kept us in it with a lot of big kicks, and he got the big one at the end.
Absolutely. Colton, thanks for calling. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
All right, you too.
That is Colton. Oski wee-wee to him, and a big win. Another vote for Mark Leggio. Kevin in the chat. By the way, Bo Levi Mitchell, as I mentioned earlier tonight, 31 of 40, 362 yards. So I did the quick math. Yes, using the calculator. He's now got 4,044 yards on the season. 4044 leads the league. He also has a CFL leading 24 touchdown passes at the one TD tonight. Kevin in the chat says, let's go Ticats. John says, Ballard Cup season sweep. Brian says, BLM goes over 4,000 yards passing. Joe, how about that pitch? Over watered fire, the groundskeeper. WTF. And Louis says, cardiac cats. And that is absolutely true. They are the cardiac cats. Chris on email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. If you want to email into the show, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. And Chris says, absolute roller coaster of a game. That scared me a few times. And while far from a perfect game, I'm taking a nail biter W in Toronto any day. Agree with Leggio for player of the game. He is so far running away with that vote. Thank you so much for voting. You can also call into the program, click on the link at the top of the chat, and you can join me on the show. Speaking of which, H, I only have an H to this caller. H, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good. What's your name?
Brian. Sorry, I don't know how I did that.
That's okay, Brian. Glad that you could connect.
Colton's father, actually.
Who's that?
I'm Colton's father.
Oh, well, it's a family affair here on the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube.
Yeah.
What's on your mind tonight?
Anyways, I'm really happy that they won, but I'm just a little frustrated that they're not using Tim Whitmore and why they don't figure that Butler couldn't run it in from the two.
Yeah, I mean, they had five chances, and you think they would have switched it up a little bit. I mean, other than, you know, the pitch left, which was disastrous, they didn't really try anything different.
No, at least they tried it, but and Robinson, like if they spread everybody out and put Robinson, he's 6'8".
Yeah.
That's the perfect spot for him down at the goal line.
Yeah. Throw it to the moon. He's going to catch it. No one else is going to climb that ladder.
And our defense, man, what a difference since we brought in the new coach.
Yeah. Chris Jones.
It's just we're getting more pressure on the quarterback, and easily we're getting more pressure. And with three guys, we're only getting three down linemen. Was that because of the injuries, or they? I haven't noticed them. Have they been doing that all along, or?
No. I mean, this has been really a Chris Jones thing. Thinking, okay, let's. I mean, they don't do it every play, but for a lot of the first half, especially tonight, it was a three-man rush. They were, dropping eight guys back, and all right, Chad Kelly tried to throw the football. He had two pass attempts in the first quarter. All they were doing was running.
We played that. That guy great tonight. We had a little problem containing him a couple times, but man, what a difference this team is since we changed the coach.
It's pretty wild. By the way, sacks allowed tonight. Ticats have allowed two. Toronto allowed one tonight, but they got the big win. Who's your player of the game?
Had to be Leggio.
Leggio. Star-studded game. Brian, appreciate the call. Have a great weekend.
You too.
That is Brian, and of course, room for you here on the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube. You can call in by clicking on the link at the top of the chat, email fifthquartershow@gmail.com, and of course, add your comments to the chat here on YouTube. Also on X, the handle is @RickSamprin, and you can use the hashtag #FifthQuarter. Greg C. says, next to winning the Grey Cup, this is next in line. It's a photo of Kent Austin back in the day. This must be 2013, I would assume, holding the Herald's Ballard, the Ballard Trophy. Jacob on X says, Leggio's dad was right behind me when it happened. It was pretty cool celebrating a walk-off win with him. Absolutely, that would be fantastic. LD Sports says, Ticats on old-fashioned revival, two in a row over the Sad Sack Argos, 5-9. Yeah, and three in a row. Overall, this is their longest winning streak of the season, and it's coming at the right time of the season. They got to pile on a few more wins and hopefully getting some help from other teams in both divisions. Antonio on X, the handle is at Rick Zamprin, use the hashtag fifth quarter. He says, hey, Rick, great game, but you can turn your volume up. I can't hear you when you call anyways to the game. Great battle between both teams. Legs is my player of the game. Antonio, thank you so much. Is it a volume? I think I just muted myself. All right, let's try this, Antonio. I'll crank up the volume a little bit more. Let me know if that works a little bit better for you. Tim says, change the script. And Albert on X as well. I'll be damned, it was the Ticats with the walk-off field goal. And fun. It's nice to have that happen to another team, isn't it? It happened too often to the Ticats. Dana7210 in the chat says, player of the game, Legio with a fire emoji. Joe says, that stuffed like five times in the red zone just shows Bell is the guy, not Butler. Although, Joe, Butler was not on the field for any of those five attempts. It was Ante Milanovic Litre, basically trying to plunge in from the one, never got in there. And he, you know, he's automatic. He has been automatic all year long. And five times they just could not burst through. And then Toronto goes down the field. Chad Kelly, first attempt from the one. He's in the end zone. Like, what's going on here? Pills B Andy Doughboy. That's just a guess on the handle. Not good at phonetics at this point of the night. Just stating a fact here. Argos suck. Yeah, that's a pretty, I think, well-known fact. Joe CTS says, leg to go. With a leg emoji. I've never seen a leg emoji. Lisa says, player of the game is Legio as well. There's a number of ways you can contribute to the show. You can click on the link at the top of the chat, and you can climb on board and chat with me on your phone. You can do it on your computer as well if you have an external mic or a headset mic, however you want to use that. And you can email fifthquartershow@gmail.com, 5TH, the number 5TH, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. And on X, the handle is at Rick Zamprin. Use the hashtag fifth quarter. Ashton on X says, holy smokes, is that the second win that the Ticats won in their alternate jerseys? Oh my God, this is mind-blowing real-time data from Ashton. Yes, it's true. Kelly says, OMG, yes, in relation to the big game-winning kick from legs. And Jim says, I'm going to need to start doing more cardio if the Ticats are going to win like that. Thought we were done when we couldn't punch it in from the one with five tries, but no one quit. And Legio got a well-deserved walk-off winner. He is my player of the game. Lots of love, and rightfully so, for Mark Legio. Running away with player of the game honors. One more post on X before I'll go back to the chat and the email. Jimmy says, what a game. Keep our playoff hopes alive and sweep the Argos. Oski, wee-wee. Mark for player of the game. Got to keep the good time rolling. Have a wonderful night, buddy. Buddy Jimmy, thank you so much for your comment on X. You can use the hashtag fifth quarter to offer your thoughts as well. Email also open, fifthquarter@gmail.com. That's 5TH, fifthquarter@gmail.com. This one is from Dave, who says, what a game, what a game. The only thing better than sweeping the Argos is winning the Grey Cup. Go Cats, long live the fifth quarter. Dave, thank you so much. This one is from Steven out in Penticton, BC. Steven says, greetings, Rick. Great game. Very pleased with all our players. We are still in the hunt. I must agree with your first caller. Player of the game goes to all the players. Steven saying the whole team. I also thought the flag fest from the Zebras was a bit much. I was beginning to wonder if Jake the Snake Ireland was calling this game. Great way to start the weekend. Many thanks to you, Rick. Cheers, Steven out in Penticton, BC. Steven, thanks for continuing to email your thoughts about the Ticats and offering your player of the game votes as well. Mark Legio running away with the player of the game vote tonight. You can offer your vote in the chat on email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com, or call in by clicking on the link at the top of the chat. Another email to get to. And this one is from Jim. Jim says, Rick, so great to have this opportunity. Thanks for continuing your show. My wife and I have been longtime fans of your show. Well, we finally managed to clock well at the end of the game. I agree with the caller. I thought Butler and Litre would have been on the field to punch the ball in. Love the increased usage of Robinson. Butler looked great running and catching. Player of the game, Bo, he managed the game well. Let's not forget the negated TD at the end of the half. A great drive. Cheers. That email is from Jim. So vote for Bo, who, again, I mentioned at the start of the show, that might be his best game in a Ticats uniform. Let's go through the chats, or let's go through the stats before we get back to the chat and the email and X. Bo Levi, again, 31 of 40, 362 yards, one touchdown. James Butler back on the field. Greg Bell with an Achilles injury, not available tonight. Butler, 11 carries, 58 rushing yards. His longest on the night was 15. Ante Milanovic Litre, 7 carries, 8 yards, 1 touchdown. His longest run was 4 yards. Couldn't get the one from the goal line, though, in the one instance. And Bo Levi, 3 carries for 19 yards. And from a receiver's point of view, another big game, and congratulations to Shamar Bridges. 6 catches tonight, 82 yards. He is the all-time rookie receptions leader in a Ticats uniform and is on pace to shatter Darrell Walker's CFL record of 89. He's got, I think he's up to, I can't remember the number. Someone remembers the number, offered in the chat. It was on the tip of my tongue. James Butler also had 6 carries for catches for 44 yards. So a really well-rounded game for Butler, who hasn't played in, you know, several weeks. Cadre Smith had a couple of big catches tonight, 5 receptions, 79 receiving yards. Giovanni Robinson, 4 for 49 and that one big touchdown. Stephen Dunbar, another solid game, 4 catches, 48 yards. Brandon O'Leary Orange, 3 catches for 33. Tim White, 2 for 24. And Tuck had 1 reception for 3 yards. And I should not talk about the defense, because they made some big stops, weren't perfect tonight, you know, allowed 30 plus points, but at the end of the day, good enough to get the job done. Will Sunderland with a team leading 5 defensive tackles, interception from Katsantonis, which turned into points. Big touchdown to Robinson after that interception. And I thought a solid effort tonight from the D. I would have liked a little more pressure on Kelly. And when that happened, he just managed to escape through those kind of pressure points or pressure situations and found the open receiver time and time again. Ticats had more first downs than Toronto, 30 to 28. Time of possession at the end of the first half, Hamilton had the ball for 15:01 and Toronto for 14:59. Turns out the Ticats at the end of the ball game, 35:49 to Toronto's 24:11. Let's not forget Toronto in the first quarter virtually just ran the ball. You think they would have soaked up the clock, but Hamilton's defense got the job done, especially in that first half. Robert on email, the email address, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Robert says, heck of a game. What a roller coaster ride. High points, low points, curves, oohs, ahs, nerves, and relief at the end of the ride. Player of the game, the whole team. All facets of the team contributed to this win. TSN panel declared it the game of the year. What drama. That email is from Robert. So vote for the entire team. And it was a good total team effort tonight. Maybe not as impressive as the 3 phases of the game we saw against Ottawa last week, but crunch time, aside from the goal line fiasco, crunch time, it was pretty good. Let's get back to the chat before we go back to the email. And again, you can offer your thoughts in the chat. You can click on the link at the top of the chat and join me on the air. We do have Tom standing by in Burlington. I'm going to get to Tom in just a couple of seconds. Nona says, great game. Oski wee wee. Lisa says, player of the game. Legio, I think I read Lisa's comments before. Joe, I read that one too. Steven says, agree. Mark Legio, player of the game. Mark says, big win. Cats, Brad. Legio for player of the game. Could there be any other choice? Well, we're seeing tonight that there are some choices, Bo, the team, good choices for sure. And Joe says, absolutely so happy you're doing this show since 900 AM RIP. And one last comment before we get to Tom in Burlington. Let's go, says History Nerd 1814. Let's go. Wasn't pretty, but it was a win and a sweep against Toronto. Time to work out the problems for against BC. Player of the game, Bo Levi Mitchell, again, with a very strong effort. Tom is joining us now from Burlington. Tom, hello. How are you?
Not bad, Rick. I have a concern here.
Okay, what is that?
Too many dang field goals. You got to punch it in.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, how many shots did they get at the one, and then they have to settle for a field goal?
Five.
And the only reason they got that one shot was because of an offside penalty by a couple inches. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If you want to make the playoffs after that terrible start, you can't be kicking field goals.
Yeah, I mean, they had six tonight. That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, give it to Leggio. He gets my player of the game, but you're not gonna win field goals going into BC next week. But the time, you know, because always when Hamilton goes to BC, the time change gets them.
As it does most Eastern team, yeah, absolutely.
So you know, I'd like them to win, but please get some touchdowns.
I hear you. And the time change thing, you know, people might listen to that and think, ah, it's not a big factor.
Listen, it is.
When I was broadcasting the games, I felt it. And I wasn't even playing. These guys are getting killed on the field. They feel it for sure.
That, I mean, they're starting at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Eastern. I mean, and then you're playing till 1:30. If it goes to overtime, possibly 2 in the morning.
Absolutely.
If they get touchdowns, they have a chance. If they kick field goals, BC's going to win that game. And then if Toronto wins, bye-bye East. Yeah. And they know their only chance is the West then.
And still, they need help. Either way, they need help. Yeah. Right? They need Toronto to come down. They need some of the West teams to kind of beat on the teams that Hamilton is chasing. So, I mean, it's not going to be easy, but at least Hamilton is piling up the wins.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Rick.
Tom, appreciate the call. Have a great weekend. That is Tom here on the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube. And again, you can join just like Tom has by clicking on the link at the top of the chat, insert your name. And I think you got to put in your email or something like that. It's pretty easy. Or you can email fifthquartershow@gmail.com, 5th, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Got an email from Phil who says, "Hi, Rick. Well, what can you say after that one? Considering the refereeing sucked as usual, and the field resembled a cow pasture, Tiger Cats somehow miraculously pulled it out. My comments this year have been mostly critical of the team, and for good reason. But I tip my hat off to them today. Job well done, boys. It's still a long shot for the playoffs. The crossover in the West is probably more doable. You got to hope Calgary can beat Saskatchewan in the late game today. But that would mean that Hamilton would be chasing Calgary, as the Stamps would have one extra point over Saskatchewan by virtue of an overtime tie earlier this year. But it is what it is." Phil says, "Let's move on to next Friday's game at the concrete tomb called BC Place. I know the Tiger Cats won there last year, but their overall record at BC is dismal. But then again, so are all the other East teams that visit. The Lions feasting on the 3-hour time difference going ahead. Game starts 7:30 p.m. Pacific time, which is 10:30 Eastern. So it would be best for the team to bolt out there as quick as possible to get adjusted to the time change. I believe this game will make or break the season. Don't forget, Lions had a bye this week, so are well rested. One final comment, a special thank you to the Winnipeg Blue Bomber organization for running Mark Leggio out of town in 2023. Thank you. Thank you very much. Love your show. Take care." That email is from Phil. And a great email. And, you know, we haven't seen the practice schedule for the Ticats yet, but I can almost guarantee they're going to go out on the Wednesday and then all day Thursday get acclimatized or acclimated to the time difference. I would bet on that. Mallory with nothing to write on X, the handle at Rick Samprin, the hashtag fifth quarter, but just has three broom emojis. And couldn't say it better myself. Ty says, "Frustration throat was worth it for that finish." Yes, it was. And Brad says, "Yes, legs for player of the game season sweep." And boy, oh boy. And here's another gift. This one from Justin. This is, I think, yeah, Charles Barkley on the set of TNT, NBA and TNT, with a broom sweeping the floor of little Argos dust particles, I guess. And Craig says, "Sweeping that evil team sure eases a lot of the season's pain." Absolutely does, for sure. Back to the email. This one is from Lance. who says, good evening, Rick. I had the pleasure of watching the game in its entirety from a VIP section at BMO. I was obviously surrounded and outnumbered by Double Blue fans, but guess what? Another epic late victory over our arch rivals, and I couldn't be happier. Player of the game is Mark Leggio for obvious reasons, as he won us the game. Oski Wee Wee Lance from Stony Creek. Lance, enjoy your trip back home. You can interact with me on the show. Just click on the link at the top of the chat, the email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com, or join us on the On Fuego chat. And let me get back to it. Just got to scroll up a little bit. Otherwise, I'm going to miss some comments. This one is from Brian, who says, Butler didn't get a chance to run the ball on the goal line. Yeah, I think we covered that one. The Crimson Meteor. I love the handle. They should have never ran the same play five times in a row. It's basics strategy. So they ran basically the same play four times in a row. This is the goal line fiasco, which is it's come to be here. Four exact same plays, basically. And then you had Bo Levi kind of line up in the gun and then pitch it left to Andre Milanovic-Litre, and he didn't get anywhere. I mean, my thinking is, all right, you try three times, you get stuffed, penalty against Toronto, you have another opportunity. Let's reset. Let's take a breath, and let's refocus, and let's remember that the end zone is 20 yards deep. We have some room to play with. Throw the ball. How about throwing the ball? And they tried two more times, didn't get it, have to settle for one of six Leggio field goals. And I thought that was going to be one of those moments where we look back and think that's the game. And it really was. I mean, if the Ticats score a touchdown in that instance, the game is completely different. Absolutely completely different. Pills is back with a comment. Talia should have kept on that first one, the DE collapsed, easy read. Yeah, and he put it right in the belly of Litre, who got stuffed on the goal line. Brad says, effin, go Cats go. Chuck says, not just Washington Costas games, so did the special teams coach. They are a good team now. And John says, I hope the coach did not call those five plays the same on the goal line. It seemed like it. It seemed like it, John. Five consecutive plays. Still with the chat here on the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube. You can interact on email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com, 5TH, fifthquartershow@gmail.com, or click on the link in the chat, or go to X, formerly known as Twitter. The handle is @RickSamper, and use the hashtag Fifth Quarter. Dan says, best game of the year by far. Dan, I would have to agree. I mean, it had, we beat our arch rivals. It was an important game, like literal must. You lose this game, the Ticats are essentially done, right? They win the game. It's against the arch rivals. It's on the road, an epic performance by a number of players. Down the stretch with a playoff spot potentially on the line, absolutely best walk-off field goal win, absolutely the best game of the season. Dan says, best game of the year by far. These are the games this team has failed to win up until now. 100% right. 100% right. Playoff intense and flashes of the 98 final great game, says Dan. Dan, that is an awesome addition to the chat. Nightscrawler62 says, they beat the Red Blacks. Then I'd say they are good. Well, let's just go back to the schedule, because again, they're in BC a week from tonight. It's a 10:30 p.m. Eastern time start. Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube will be on the air at 1:30 in the morning. I'm hoping to be awake and hoping you are too. After that game, the Ticats host Winnipeg, who over the next couple of weeks, including this weekend, are going to be facing off against Edmonton in two crucial games for both those teams. And then Hamilton takes on the Stampeders at Tim Hortons Field after a bye week. And then to close out the regular season, it's Hamilton in Ottawa, Friday, October the 25th. And that could be, who knows, if it is the game that either pushes this team into the playoffs or prevents the Ticats from getting in, that is going to be an epic night for sure. History Nerd 1814, update on the Saskatchewan game, 10-9 for Saskatchewan, end of the first. Let's get an even more, I guess, up-to-date update. And it is 17-9 for Saskatchewan. That is late in the first half, just under 2 minutes to go in the first half. Listen, we need the Stamps to start putting up some points. A Saskatchewan win clearly doesn't end any playoff hopes here, but it does make it a little more difficult. A Saskatchewan win tonight would push them to 13 points. But again, Hamilton is 4 points back of Toronto. Let's take a look at the Argos' remaining schedule. I think we did so last time around, or at least maybe after Labor Day. And for the Argonauts, for the rest of the way following this game, they host Montreal a week tomorrow. That's a huge game for both teams, really. Toronto is in Winnipeg the following week. They get a bye, and then they're in Winnipeg. Week 20, Toronto hosts Ottawa. Tough game. And then they end the season in Edmonton. So, does Toronto win two? Does Toronto win two of those games? Probably. Maybe the two at home against Montreal and Ottawa. Those would be huge. Those would be absolutely massive. But maybe it doesn't play out like that. Maybe it does not play out like that. Hit me up on the chat here in the fifth quarter show on YouTube. You can click on the link at the top of the chat to join me on the phone, or you can send me an email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Again, 5TH, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Just a couple of other chat comments. On Knight says you'll break 5,000 this year in relation to Bo Levi Mitchell. Amanda says, Oski, wee, so proud of you boys. Player of the game, Hamilton's entire offense came together as a whole. Bo for leading the charge. I will just put down the O, getting a big point. Harley says, nobody blows like the Argos. Ari says, if Jones was brought in earlier, we would be ahead of Toronto. Great total team effort. Lost on goal line. Why not let the kid bootleg like on Labor Day or screen to Litre, player of the game, Mitchell? Another vote for Bo. Jake the Snake says, amazing. A win even with that botched goal line fiasco. Absolutely. And player of the game is Milanovic's challenge flag from Aaron. I could not believe the official who was literally three steps away from that play threw the flag on that, what he thought was pass interference. The receiver slipped on the field in the end zone. I mean, I'm not sure. And the official is looking right at this play. I do not understand how he said, you know what, I'm going to throw the flag on this one. VRS Football says, Rick, what was that call on pass interference in the end zone? Worst call ever. Yeah, as I just said, I don't know. I can only surmise that the official maybe thought he saw some contact, and when the Argo player went down, threw the flag. But I think internally in your mind, you have to see clear evidence of pass interference. I didn't see any, and the replay certainly bared that out for sure. In the chat, on email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Alan has written in on email. Says, hi, Rick. It's Alan from St. Catharines. I am so glad we won tonight and hanging on for playoff hopes. I thought Bo Levi Mitchell played well. 31 of 40 completions and 362 yards. He's my player of the game. Butler had 58 yards, which was all right and was effective. Hopefully we can keep winning and we get a playoff spot in the West Division. Another vote. And another great comment. And this one coming in from Joe on email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Hi, Rick, says Joe. Wow, what an ending. Cat showed a lot of heart. Why didn't the Cats throw the ball on the five tries? Change it up. Player of the game, Mark Leggio. Love your show. Joey M. from Bright, Ontario. Mark Leggio. 15 votes tonight for player of the game. The team is 3. Bo has 4, and the offense has 1. You can chime in on tonight's Ticats win, and a huge one at that, 33-31 over the Argonauts. Hamilton now 5-9 on the season. Toronto 7-7, and that is primarily the team Hamilton is trying to catch, although Saskatchewan or Edmonton in the West, if they are still catchable, we could see our first east-to-west crossover playoff spot. Under a minute to play in the second quarter, Saskatchewan, Calgary, Rough Riders lead the Stampeders 17-9. So Saskatchewan win, they're up to 13 points. A Calgary win, and they're up to 11 points. And so that would be Winnipeg, BC, 14-14. again with a Calgary win. Saskatchewan and Calgary both at 11 points. Edmonton with 10. The Ticats have 10. The Ticats, if Calgary wins tonight, the Ticats are 1 point out of a playoff spot. And really, there's not going to be a tiebreaker scenario because both Saskatchewan and Calgary have ties. Unless that tiebreaker scenario involves Edmonton, the Elks would have a tiebreaker, but really throw that out the window because the Ticats need one more point than the third place team in the West. So it looks like it's going to come down to the wire, which is amazing, but at the same time, disappointing because this team, the Ticats, got off to such a slow start. Dave, the IT guy on X, says, without any doubt, player of the game is Legio. Tim says, Bo looked good tonight and confident moving the ball with 1 minute left. Will MC says, player of the game, legs. Hashtag fifth quarter show. And Brian says, Brian is 100% right. And he says, this really sums up the win tonight. Still in it. BMT says, thank God for our kicker. Mark Legio, 6 for 6 tonight, including a game-winning walk-off 47-yard field goal as the Ticats beat the Argonauts for the third consecutive time this season, sweeping the season series. 33-31 is the final. Another email coming in, this one from Bill in Burlington. Says, what a win! Mark Legio, player of the game. Kudos to Bo Levi Mitchell. He played with confidence while under pressure to get into field goal range. I continue to be amazed at how the change in DC has made a difference with this team. While playoffs are still a long shot, each win gets us a bit closer. Is there a hotter team in the CFL right now? Don't think so. Bill in Burlington. I think Edmonton would probably maybe make a case for hottest team in the league, right? 5 of 6. They are, you know, slowly moving up the standings. They have a huge, huge game against the Blue Bombers this weekend at Commonwealth Stadium. That game is tomorrow night at 7. The other game tomorrow, another huge one in the East Division, Montreal and Ottawa in the capital. Alouettes at 10-2-1, the Red Blacks 8-4-1. Really, when you look at the records, the two best teams in the CFL going at it. Montreal's already clinched a playoff spot. Ottawa can do so with a win. We'll see if they can get it. Let's go back to the chat here on the fifth quarter show on YouTube. And again, you can discuss tonight's game, vote for your player of the game, click on the link at the top of the chat and join me on your phone. You can do so on your tablet or your laptop, however you want to do so. Email always open, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Back to the chat. John says, it's a shame that the Cats did not wear white jerseys and gold pants on that turf. Okay, I think the Argos probably would have had to change their uniforms. I think that the light blue may have been a little too close to the white. I don't know. We shall see. Chris says, finally, call center gets it right. Always great to get Argoids. Legio, best thing since Mizers, Ruoff, and Ozzy, player of the game, Legio Legs, and Bo the Pro. We're just creating new nicknames now. Bo the Pro, good night, Irene Argoids. Joe says, fire the pitch manager at BMO. Even TFC would say it was crap. I think we can all agree the field was just, oh, absolutely disgusting. Joe also says, get well soon, Bell. Butler is not the guy. I thought Butler really started slow, but I thought he ended pretty good, especially in the second half. He was much better in the second half, made a couple of big receptions, especially, and had a couple of big runs there as well. Tom says, shame on the Argos for the terrible shape of the swamp. No, sorry, the field. Andy says, great game, but can't believe the holds Toronto did with no flags. Civil Defense Canada back at it with Mitchell's last season. Is this one, if they lost tonight, it would have been his last start. Time to get Powell ready to go for next year. I'll push back on that one because if Hamilton loses tonight and they're mathematically out, I think, sure, let's get Powell back in there. Even if they lose tonight, it's not, I mean, it's probably the end of the season, but it's not mathematically the end of the season. Bo Levi has been really good since he was reinserted. They beat Toronto on Labor Day. They beat Ottawa at home. They beat the Argos at BMO Field, their first win in Toronto since 2019. Sweep the season series. Bo seems to throw for 300 yards every game, not making the same mistakes that he did earlier in the season. We're not seeing that interception total skyrocket like it did in the first few weeks of the season. One or two touchdowns a game. As I said, 300 yards passing, you know, eight or nine incompletions, moving the ball when it counts, big second down conversion rate. He's playing well. I'm not sure why you would want to change things. Second down tonight, the Ticats converted 16 of their 25 opportunities. Toronto converted 9 of 18. 16 of 25, that's really good. That is really good, putting up 431 yards of net offense. So, yeah, tip of the cap to Bo and the O tonight for sure. Email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. And you can also click on the link at the top of the chat to call in to the fifth quarter. That almost blind guy on X, at Rick Samprin is the handle, says exactly what we were saying, plus a mile-wide field. You don't need all 24 players in a 12-foot area. And he also says, dude, don't get me started. After that offside call, which was crap, by the way, that first play should have been a pass. Then the field is 2 miles wide. Why are all 24 players crowded into a 12-foot area? Use the whole field and 20-yard end zone. Rant over. Tim says, Rick, post the number to call in. All right, let me do that. If you cannot see the link in the chat, let me add it once more here. It's going to be on your screen if you're looking at the chat box. Post it as we speak. Joe says, that pass interference that we won the challenge was pathetic. Ball was clear. Receiver falls down. How is that a penalty? Unbelievable. Another thing to consider, too, on that play is that ball was nowhere near the receiver. I mean, an uncatchable ball. The ball didn't land anywhere near someone who could have caught it, Ticat or Argonaut. So again, yeah, I don't know. That was a weird flag and not a good night for the officiating crew. Colton says, not really sure what Civil Defense Canada is talking about. Mitchell is statistically one of the best quarterbacks in the CFL. Over 4,000 yards passing this year. He is our guy. And yeah, I agree with that. He's having a great, especially second half of the season. First part of the season, yeah, he's putting up the yardage, but those mistakes were costly. Those interceptions, that's what led to his benching. Taylor Powell comes in. Unfortunately, Powell gets hurt. Bo gets back in. I think Mitchell has been even better the second time around. Dave, the IT guy on the chat, says lots to take away from the game, especially the short yardage game. Not there yet, but still hanging on. Legio for player of the game. Honorable mention for Bo, top passer in the CFL. You know what? We won tonight. I'm giving a vote for both Legio and Bo from Dave, the IT guy. Joe says, Cardiac Cats. Louis says, win and the Bombers win, we would be 1 point behind in the West, but we need to finish ahead to get the crossover. Yeah, you're exactly right. It cannot be a point tie. That the Tiger Cats will need at least 1 point or 2 points, whatever the case is, more than the third place team in the West to get that first ever crossover playoff spot. Jeff saying, post the link again, trying to call in. Yeah, the link has been posted or reposted in the chat. Nona says, the link is at the top of the chat. Yep. Joe, again, what's the call-in number? Again, the link has just been posted. It's not showing on mine. I'm going to have to get into the habit of reposting the link, because I think if you join the show after the link has been posted, you don't see the link in the chat. That's my guess. Lisa says, really happy for Butler tonight. He's been the engine for this offense for 2 years in a row. And you know what? I thought James Butler was good tonight. He was kind of sluggish in the first half, which is kind of understandable. He hasn't played in several weeks. I think it's, you know, 6 weeks or so. But the second half, he was much better, getting some better carries, getting some big receptions. 11 carries tonight for 58 yards for Butler. And he had 6 receptions, tying Shamar Bridges for a team high. 6 receptions for 44 yards for James Butler. So a productive night for him. Would have loved to see him get into the end zone. I thought he was going to get a crack at it when they reset after the Toronto penalty, but they went back to the well again and again. Joe says, disagree. Mitchell is a baller. If he has the playbook and the tools in the toolbox, he can get the job done still with his old age. Sam says the game next week will be starting now at this time. Yeah, it would be like into the first quarter right now. Remember, Toronto went into BC at 10 p.m. and won. And Brian, still on the Bo Levi back and forth. He's a great QB, and he's proving it game after game. You don't outthrow all the other QBs by 2,000 yards in garbage time. Sorry, bud. Louis says, if the turf was better, we would have got more TDs, Tom. And I'm sure that was the case, too. As I mentioned earlier, the turf in the middle of the field was all getting chewed up. And there was a lot of checkdowns. There was a lot of nickel and dimes. There wasn't a lot of intermediate throws, you know, just beyond the linebackers and in front of the DBs. And there wasn't a lot of deep passes. We had a couple of them, but not like we could have if the turf was a lot better. The footing was definitely an issue, but, you know, in the same sense, it was an issue for both teams, right? It wasn't just a Hamilton problem or a Toronto problem. It was really no home field advantage. Both teams had to struggle through that. Joe also says, just my two cents. I know it's a podcast, but you need to take phone calls live to make this real, like the old fifth quarter. Joe, again, the link is in the chat. Click on the link. You can get on the show. We've also already had Brian Colton, big Ticats fan, call in to the broadcast. Brad says, nothing beats watching Argos fans crying in their beer on the way out of the cow pasture. LOL. Should I repost the link one more time? Maybe I should. Maybe I should. You let me know if you see it in the chat. And there it is one more time. On email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. This one is from LJ, who says, great win, though I've no fingernails left. Should have given the ball to Butler down at the one-yard line. I agree with that. That failure could have cost us the game. Gray Cup bound, Rick. Whoa, LJ. Dropping the mic. Gray Cup bound. Mark it down. Player of the game. Bo. Let's mark this down, LJ. LJGC bound. September the 20th, 11:03 p.m. Eastern time. LJ saying the Ticats are going to the Gray Cup. I don't want to argue that. Let's make it happen. Phil on email, fifthquartershow@gmail.com. Phil says, great ride home tonight after that fantastic kick. Can't believe Argos didn't take time off the clock with two incomplete passes that gave us the ball with 56 seconds left instead of 20 or so. Great effort. Oski wee wee. Phil from Hamilton, PS. Our record is pretty good since the rebirth of the fifth quarter. Phil, 3-2. 3-2 since the rebirth of the fifth quarter. They lost against Edmonton, they lost against Winnipeg, and now three consecutive wins. I'm not taking any of the credit, and nor should I. Tiger Sammy on X, at Rick Samprin is the handle. Fifth quarter is the hashtag. Just finished the game, was due to be in attendance, but had a family emergency and had to be a dad first. Ticats fan second. Fantastic win, so happy for Legs. Player of the game, Mark Leggio. Sweep, baby. Tiger, hopefully everything is okay, and you can enjoy the next Ticats game in its entirety. But hey, yes, absolutely, family and dad comes first. Yeah, big win tonight by the Tiger. Big win tonight by the Tiger Cats. I can't believe I'm saying that, because there was a time, especially with the goal line fiasco, which I thought it's not going to be our night. Like, they had five opportunities to get in the end zone, they couldn't do it. And they settle for the field goal. And I thought, that's going to come back to bite them. That's going to come back to bite them. But it didn't. Leggio gets his sixth field goal of the game. And the Ticats win 33-31. Brian says, I disagree. Butler is a better receiver and doesn't fumble. I agree, Dave. It's wonderful that he's doing it and doing it well. And I thought I pinned the chat or the link at the top. I started. I'm guessing that's pinned. Dave says, forgot to add thanks again to you for keeping the fifth quarter going. Cheers, Rick. And Kevin says, hi. And Phil or Pills says, Robinson counts as a global. You get an extra spot when you play a second global. So he's a free guy, but yeah, you'd have to sit another American. Brian says, I know he is 6'8". He's proving he can catch the ball. So good coming off the line. That is for sure. Kevin also says, I wasn't so confident about this game, but I'm glad we won. Defense is looking better each game, and the team is starting to look like a full team. T. Lewis, is Robinson playing too good to be taken out? Yeah, I don't think you can take Giovanni Robinson out of the game right now at all. I mean, he is a physical guy. I think he's only going to get more assertive, if you will, but he's good on the line. He's good in open space. He can climb the ladder. We've shown that from time to time. He almost, you know, hurdled a guy, or pretty much did hurdle a guy in the game. So he's got some athletic ability for a guy that size, which is absolutely amazing. Jim says, I know it's a numbers game, but I'd like to see Butler and Bell dressing and alternating, giving them a potent 1-2 punch out of the backfield. I'd love to see it myself. I'm very intrigued to see how it would work, because you saw the Argos tonight. They came out of the gate with three different running backs. And I get it. From a roster composition standpoint, the Ticats are looking at, you know, places like the D-line, the linebacking core, the secondary, especially, and maybe even you can put in the receiving core as well, as Americans that they don't want to take out of the lineup just to put in another quarterback who's, you know, 99 times out of 100, probably not going to be on the field at the same time as the other guys. So I get it. But this could be an opportunity for James Butler, because an Achilles injury could be, you know, rather cumbersome to come back from. And I don't think the Ticats are going to want Greg Bell to rush back, because they have a capable backup in James Butler. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch tonight. Catherine says, glad we won, but should have been a huge win. And Catherine, yeah, there was an opportunity to blow out the Argonauts. The way the Ticats were playing offensively and moving the football, they were just settling for too many field goals. And you know, I'll agree with Tom earlier, who said you can't go to BC for sure, not with that high-powered offense, and settle for field goals. Probably not going to be successful. Scott says, if you focus on the Argos for a moment, you will see many high-scoring games. They have no ability to defend the pass. If their remaining opponents exploit this weakness, they could go 0-4. Brad says, I'm voting for the crossover. Then maybe we get to beat the Argos in the Grey Cup. How sweep would that be? Well, that would be unbelievable. A Hamilton-Toronto Grey Cup. You'd have to go back to like the 1910s to have that, or the early 1900s to have a Toronto-Hamilton Grey Cup final. Brian says, Rick, do you think there is any way they go back to Bell if he's practicing next week? I hope not. Listen, if Greg Bell is healthy next week, I'm just looking at the way this coaching staff has treated this situation, if you will, and they're clearly in Team Bell's corner at this point. You know, Scott Milanovic told us at the media availability point blank last week that Greg Bell offers more explosiveness, more quickness, more speed, another gear when he gets into the linebacking and certainly the secondary part of the defense, more so than James Butler. And Butler is that punishing back, you know, power back, can steamroll some guys. Great blocker, maybe one of the best in the league. Obviously can catch the football, had six receptions today. A lovable, you know, guy in the locker room, a glue guy. There really isn't a lot of takeaway from one or the other. They just have a little bit of a different style. Hartley in the chat says, this guy talks Ticats football. Yeah, absolutely. Colton says, CFL refs make my blood boil. And John says, okay, hear me out. If Hamilton wins out, can they mathematically host a home playoff game? Yes, they could, because Ottawa, who have 17 points, would have to lose all of their games. The Ticats would have to win all of their games. They would have 18 points. The Argos, even if they get to 18, the Ticats would hold the tiebreaker. So it is still going into week 15 of the CFL season next week, still conceivable, or at least not conceivable, mathematically possible that the Ticats could host a home playoff game. Probably not going to happen. And I could probably delete the word probably there, and for good reason. Ticats Talk Network says, Rick, player of the game, Mark Leggio, overall team played amazing. Let's keep this streak alive. Go Ticats. Mark Leggio, certainly deserving of player of the game honors. Don't see any emails. I think the chat is up to date. If you can see the link in the chat, click it. You can join me on the show and have your say. Brian says, Rick, in the future, I wonder if you could get a player to call in after the game. Sure, that would definitely be a conversation with the Ticats Audio Network, who do, you know, a fine job of their post-game analysis of each and every game. They do get a player and head coach Scott Milanovic. Certainly, we'll have that conversation in the offseason. I don't think it's going to happen this year, for sure. Kevin says, Lee Trey, I like him too. Getting hurdled by Robinson must look like a 747 going over the top of you. Yeah, Giovanni Robinson is a big man. Big man. Steven says, any chance you would consider an early morning fifth quarter OT session the day after the BC games for the BC game, that for those who won't stay up after that game? Steven, I think, you know, the beauty of the fifth quarter and even for the BC games is to get the raw instant emotion reaction, whether it's knee jerk or well thought out kind of post game analysis from me and from the fans. Although, you know, once the show is done, it does get, you know, saved for posterity in YouTube, also gets on Spotify as well. But I don't know. That's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. Maybe I'll offer Ticats fans a poll question next week to say, hey, should the fifth quarter show on YouTube after the BC game, which is going to be like 1:30 in the morning, should we do it at like, I don't know, 8 in the morning on the Saturday? Maybe I'll put that out to you and see if that flies. Lisa says, BC is beatable next week. Rourke doesn't look the same since his return from the NFL, and the Lions defense is suspect. And Brad says, sorry, but the show wouldn't be the same if it's not right after the game. And Brad, that I'm kind of feeling that, right? That's what the show, is all about. Right after the game, we're passionate. We're either very happy or very angry, or, you know, somewhere in between. And that's what makes the show the show. Pill says, I liked Mario Kendricks up front in his first game. Still hope Sales comes back soon, but him and Mason looked good. I have been impressed with Trayvon Mason coming into this season. Not a guy who got a ton of publicity, but has a great engine. Had only one tackle tonight, but seems to get that engine going each and every play. I was going to say each and every game, but each and every play. Defensively tonight, again, Will Sunderland led all defenders with 5 tackles, Richard Leonard 4, Katsantonis, Wilson, Peters, and Baker all with 3, and Katsantonis with the interception. The only turnover of the game tonight for either team, after Hamilton forced 6 turnovers last week against Ottawa. And Brian says, yes, I was worried about the D-line tonight with the injuries, but man, they looked very good. And yeah, it didn't translate into a lot of sacks tonight for the Tiger Cats. They got just the 1, but, you know, they were kind of squishing the pocket, making things uncomfortable, if you will, for Chad Kelly. For the Argos, I'll just, unleash a couple of stats for you so you can get what they did tonight and put that into context. Chad Kelly was 17 of 26 tonight, 255 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. Kadeem Carey, 7 carries, 65 yards. And I'm pretty sure all those carries, all those yards were in the first half. I did not notice him in the second half at all. Demonte Coxey, 5 receptions for 45 yards. Tavares Daniels, another strong game, 4 for 118. Poke, 2 catches for 22. Neal, 2 for 24. And Metall, 2 for 21. And Metall reminds me of a young Nick Lewis. Maybe doesn't have that high of a ceiling, but the physical attributes, a really tough receiver. I think he's got a bright future, and this is his rookie season. I think he's been a good one in the Canadian Football League. And for the Argos defensively, Wynton McManus, who was back from injury, Had a great game tonight, too. 8 defensive tackles for the Toronto Argonauts. But it is the Hamilton Tiger Cats coming out on top 33-31 against Toronto, sweeping the 2024 season series. They're in the early stages of the third quarter in Calgary, and it's the Saskatchewan Roughriders running away with this one 24-9. So unless something really weird happens at McMahon Stadium for the rest of that ball game, it looks like Saskatchewan's going to get to 13 points on the season. They'll go to 6-7-1 and break a, 7-game winless streak if they hold on to beat Calgary. So, yeah, the Ticats would be 3 points, really 4 points, because you need one more point than the third-place team. 4 points out of the crossover, 4 points back of Toronto with 4 games to go. So, mathematically, still very much there. Absolutely, but they got some work to do. Christian is joining us here on the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube. Christian, hello, how are you? Hello, Christian, do we have you? One more time for Christian. Christian, can you hear me? Can you offer some thoughts on tonight's game? Vote for your player of the game. Christian will ask you to maybe try again. Maybe if I see his visual right now, or her visual, I'll reintroduce them onto the show. Again, clicking on the link, you get placed into the backstage, kind of, if you will, or the waiting room, and then I'll bring you on to the show. Back to the chat. And Pill says they were rushing three a lot. Sacks were always going to be a premium, but they flushed Kelly a bunch. Linebackers have been a weak spot all season and need to be better. And Colton says, I think the refs are beginning to get sick of Kelly's persistent whining after every play. They're showing him no love. Although the one roughing the passer against Chad Kelly, I did not think it was a roughing the passer. There was no clear hit at the end of that play as Kelly was going down. There was a Ticat that kind of bumped into him, not viciously, and there was a Ticat that went over him. And I think the officials thought that maybe the Ticat that went over him hit him in the head, but I didn't see a headshot. His head barely even moved. Brian says, Jones is a great defensive coach. We really are not the same without Simone. Good, he doesn't deserve it, says Brad. I think that's in relation to another chat. All right, let's look at X. No new comments are coming in. The inbox on the email is empty. And so far, the chat is still kind of going. And I'll give it a couple of other, I think Christian's trying to reconnect here, and we'll give them just another second. I think we have Christian now. Christian, hello, can you hear me? Hello, Christian. Oh, we lost Christian again. We'll offer Christian one final try. This is like the goal line fiasco all over again. Christian, it is third and goal. You got to punch it into the end zone. Ian says, I was wrong popping on this team. They've been playing really well. Bo Levi Mitchell is showing he is a good quarterback. One win is a win. Two wins is a back-to-back. Three wins is a winning streak. You're right. Three wins is a legitimate streak. And those are three big wins, because two of them against Toronto, one is against Ottawa, teams that you're chasing in the East Division. Pill says CFL hit Mason on that roughing the QB call. They heard their helmets clash and called it. All right. I think Christian is having, I saw Christian pop in to the waiting room and then pop out. He might be having some connectivity issues. So without seeing any email or social media feeds or further chat comments. Oh, here's one from KT on X. There was a moment with 13 on the clock where I thought it cost them the game. So glad it didn't. Yeah. Again, back to the field goal fiasco. And next week at practice, I'm going to have to ask someone, whether it's head coach Scott Milanovic, Antti Milanovic, Lee Trey, Bo Levi, Talia Tagovailoa, whoever the case is, like what was going on with that, with that goal line stand? Because nothing they tried, and they tried basically the same play over and over and over again. Nothing was working. Nothing was working. All right, final stats here. Oh, I think we have a touchdown in Calgary. We do, 24-15. with lots of time left in the third quarter, 10:45 left in the third, and the Stamps now trailing 24-15. So, yeah, that game is not over yet. History Nerd 1814 says, go Calgary, go. Yes, we're all Stamps fans, at least for a second tonight. Ian says, your thoughts on rushing only three D linemen? Ian, I don't mind it, but it can't happen, obviously, on every defensive play. This team needs some diversification in the defense. It's Chris Jones has brought simplicity or simplification to the defense. And I think this is part of why Hamilton's D has taken that step. And I think still has maybe a couple more steps to go because they're not there yet. They have gotten much better, but I think there's a little more potential with this team and with this defense. So the 3D lineman allows you the opportunity to drop eight guys. And certainly on second and long, that's what most D coordinators, or in his case, the senior defensive assistant, is going to do. Can they get to the quarterback and make him make something, a throw that he doesn't want to make? That sometimes is going to help your cause. But you got to pick your spots. You can't do it all the time. That's for sure. Steven says, thanks for doing this. Have a great weekend. Right back at you. And Colton says, 24-16 Saskatchewan now. Anything can happen in the CFL for sure. Let's try one more time. Christian calling into the fifth quarter. Christian, can you hear me?
Hello, Rick.
Hey, we got you. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. What is going through your mind now that the Ticats are on a three-game winning streak, sweeping Toronto tonight?
First of all, Mark Lego is my player of the game.
Nice.
And second of all, the field tonight was horrendous.
Yes. It and absolutely was.
Third of all, the pass interference call, which wasn't pass interference, I don't know what the official was doing there.
It was a bonkers call, and there was a few of them tonight. What did you think of the goal line fiasco?
Oh, my God. I don't know what Scott Milanovich was doing, calling the same play three times in a row.
Yeah.
But thank you for doing this.
Yeah, my pleasure. Listen, if you first don't succeed, try again. I think that was Scott Milanovich's motto.
I tried three times.
Five's a bit too many.
Yeah.
Hey, Christian, I'm glad you connected tonight. Thanks for continuing to try and have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you for letting me continue to try.
You got it. Christian, thank you so much. Yeah, I wanted Christian on the show. I knew he had something good to say. I'm glad we brought him on. Randy says, let's go Calgary. We need your help. Ian says, all in all this game was what the CFL is all about. And History Nerd says, anyone against Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and Toronto. Wow, what a game tonight. 33-31 Ticats over the Argonauts. I didn't think it was going to happen, especially after the goal line fiasco, after the late lead change with Toronto getting that lead late at home. I thought, oh, there's the season. But the Ticats storm down the field. Mark Leggio, with his sixth field goal of the night, wins it from 47 yards, a walk-off trifecta, and the Tiger Cats are still remarkably, unbelievably, heroically still in the playoff race with four games to go, four points back of the Argonauts, and could be either one or as many as 3 points out of the final playoff spot, a crossover playoff spot in the West. That is going to be, and it is going to be an exciting finish these last 4 weeks of the season. And what makes it even more exciting is that the fifth quarter is going to be on the air after each and every one of these four remaining games. And who knows, maybe even the playoffs. Ian says, thanks, Rick, for doing this tradition. And Brad says, tonight's show brought to you by a very patient Mrs. Zamprin. Mrs. Zamprin, I am sure, is in bed and comfortable, and hopefully I don't disturb her. That is for sure. Player of the game voted by you, the fans. Mark Leggio, what an outstanding game. We are back on the air after the Ticats going to BC and mess up the Lions. Hopefully, fingers crossed. At this point, yeah, we'll do it right after the game. It'll be around 1:30 a.m. And maybe even I'll do a bonus edition on the Saturday morning. How about that for you people that just want to maybe crash at halftime or after a hard day's work on the Friday, call a night early. Maybe I'll give you the option of an 8 a.m. part two of the fifth quarter. How about that? As I just kind of thought of that, maybe it's a bad idea, but we'll hash it out in the week to come. Thanks to everyone for chiming in tonight, for continuing to support this show, for tuning in on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well for Sober Second Thoughts, Picks, Props, and Predictions, downloading the podcast on Spotify, soon to come on other podcast platforms as well. Can't wait for next week. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thanks for tuning in to the Fifth Quarter Show on YouTube. Take care.